Hello, my name is Barry Devitt. Today I'm joined by Justin Martin of the Road Safety Authority, where Justin is head of enforcement. Justin, how many commercial vehicles are there in the national fleet and what condition are they in?
So there's about 3 million vehicles in total on Irish Road. That's broken down by all vehicle categories. And if we concentrate on commercial vehicles, there's about 380,000 commercial vehicles. And typically RSA would inspect 5% of that at the roadside on an annual basis. And what we find typically is that one in every two vehicles we inspect would have a defect. And if we took minor defects, so things that could be sorted out relatively easy at the premises before vehicles go on the road, it would be approximately one in every three vehicles we'd inspect would have a defect present.
Okay. What are the most common type of defects that you're coming across on the roadside inspections?
Tyres are a big thing. Tyres that are excessively worn or are damaged. Broken brake lights, non-functioning stop lamps, broken indicators, headlamps, reflective markings, stuff that generally could be sorted out relatively easily before vehicles go on the public road. The more serious things we'd find then would be issues with braking systems, excessively worn braking components like brake discs, pads, or corrosion on brake lines, etc., etc.
Yeah, some of them seem very simple to be able to put right, all right. But can you tell me about the employers and the employees? What are their legal obligations?
So employers are supposed to have what's called a preventative maintenance system in place. That preventative maintenance system must consist of a few key aspects. The first one would be that they train their drivers to do daily walk-around checks of vehicles. And the second one would be that they have suitably qualified individuals employed or to do preventative maintenance inspections on vehicles at set periods between the annual roadworthiness tests. And the third part would be is that they keep proper records of these inspections per vehicle, so that if we come for a premises, when I say we, the RSA, come for a premises inspection on your maintenance records, that they're there for us to review.
So they'll have everything in place, basically.
Exactly.
And then you can review it then, all right. Can you tell me about training, Justin? What type of training are drivers supposed to have?
So I mentioned the daily walk-around checks. So drivers have to be shown what to look out for in a daily walk-around of the vehicle before the start of their shift. Or if there are two people driving a vehicle in any 24-hour period, then it's good practice that each driver would be trained to check the vehicle for basic mechanical defects before the vehicle is taken on the road. And if, when doing these walk-around checks, they uncover defects, they must report them to the employer. And then, depending on the nature and the severity of the defects, the employer has to decide on the appropriate route of action, either fix before use, or if it's safe, the vehicle can be used until the next service repair.
So I suppose if the driver does a walk-around check, he come across these basically defects before he even heads out and maybe run into your guys on an inspection. Yeah, okay. Can you tell me about the benefits of having an appropriate maintenance system for drivers and training in place?
So I suppose a safer fleet would be the primary thing. Road safety, I suppose. There's benefits deriving for that, though, would be like less maintenance costs. You know, it's much easier to fix something in the yard before it becomes a big problem than to fix something at the roadside after a catastrophic failure has occurred. And maybe there's a delay then to the customer who's expecting a load at a certain time, but they don't get it because there's been a breakdown, and then the associated costs with that. So I suppose, in summary, the main benefits would be, you know, more efficient and safer fleets.
Yeah, so it basically saves the employer money, basically.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so if you don't have these things in place, what are the possible consequences?
There are many consequences, but the main one would be, I suppose, delays at roadside checkpoints. At the lower end of the scale, you know, we encounter vehicles with defects. Drivers are offered the opportunity, depending on what it is, to fix it at the roadside before they continue with their journey. If that can't happen, vehicles sometimes may need to be towed away for repair. If things are very serious, on Garda Síochána will be asked to get involved, and then a recommendation might be made to prosecute. And if that happens, operators are looking at, this is at the upper end of the scale, like the operators will be looking at a day in court with potential fines of up to €5,000 for a dangerously defective vehicle.
Yeah, so I suppose employers would basically better off having these things in place rather than facing all those delays and court periods, like, etc. Yeah,
I can give you an example. We did a checkpoint recently that I attended, and a vehicle arrived that had a load of stone on it going to a customer. It transpired throughout the inspection that the trailer that the stone was on hadn't its CVRT test. It was 11 months out of date. And not only that, but there was no functioning brake lights on the trailer. So that operator had to, you know, their truck was impound, was impounded. The customer didn't receive their goods on time. A mechanic was called to the side of the road to try and fix the issue with the brake lights. It couldn't be resolved, which eventually meant load having to be transferred to another vehicle and the trailer taken away for repair and for its annual roadworthiness test. And the cost associated with rectifying all that has to be borne by the operator.
Yeah, of course. I suppose if you had done the walk around tech on the first thing, you would have spotted these defects and avoided all that.
Correct. And the maintenance system in place would have shown that the CVRT for the trailer was out of test for 11 months.
Yeah, of course. Justin, can you give me some tips or top tips for safer vehicles?
So for safer vehicles, we're looking at making sure that people do the walk-around checks, they do them properly, they report the defects, that the employers have the preventative maintenance inspections done by a suitably qualified individual at periods that are appropriate for how old vehicles are, how often they're used, many manufacturers' recommendations, and that appropriate records are kept for inspection, and that vehicles get tested in their CVRT on time. So to summarise, we would say check it, fix it, don't ignore it. Check vehicles, fix defects, don't allow them out on the road until that happens.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Can you tell me what are the rules that drivers must comply with?
So there's many rules drivers must comply with, but the main ones I'd like to talk about are to do with the driving times. So drivers can drive for 4.5 hours without a break. After that, they must take a 45-minute break, or in the 4.5 hour period, it can be split between a 15-minute and a 30-minute break. Their daily driving time is limited to 9 hours, and weekly driving time is limited to 56 hours. 11 hours of rest must be taken in every 24-hour period. And then, after 6 24-hour periods, drivers must take what's known as a weekly rest period of 45 hours. Over a 17-week period, the working time for drivers must be averaged out at 48 hours, so we check this, per week. So some weeks they can work up to a maximum of 60 hours, but over a 17-week period, 48 hours average weekly working time is what we expect to see.
Yes, so that's to avoid driver fatigue, basically.
And yes, exactly. Yeah.
Justin, what are the most common types of infringements of these rules encountered by the RSA officers during enforcement inspections?
Mostly drivers failing to take breaks when required. So after 4.5 hours driving, don't take the break they should, or don't take enough daily rest, or don't take enough weekly rest. Other issues we'd see would be related to cards, tachograph cards, whereby drivers aren't using the cards in attempt to conceal excessive driving, or quite recently we've seen a kind of a proliferation of drivers using other people's driver cards. So it gives the impression to our roadside or our officers at the roadside that two drivers may have been driving a vehicle over a weekly period, where in actual fact it was only one but was using someone else's card fraudulently. That's a very, very serious offence that will be punishable in court by a fine of up to €5,000 and or affects operator's good repute in terms of an operator licensing perspective.
And that's very easy detectable, isn't it?
Very easy to detect. Yeah. We look for patterns. I think some drivers might think that we don't know what to look for, but when you see driver cards being inserted into tachographs for short periods of time every day, you know, an hour and a half here or there, it's you know, we do follow-ups and we call, if we find someone else's card, we will call that driver whose card has been been used to find out where they are. And we find typically as well, oh no, I don't work. I've been working in another industry. Or they might say something like, I drive the vehicle now and again without specifics. And it hones in the attention of our enforcement officers, and we've had quite a few successes in court for that type of offence.
Okay, that's interesting. Can you tell me what the employer's obligations are, Justin?
So the list of obligations for employers is quite onerous, but unfortunately it's necessary to ensure that you have safe drivers in your fleet. So the first thing would be that to check that your drivers have the right licence for the vehicle they're driving and that they have a valid CPC qualification and a valid tachograph card. CPC and tachograph, there are some exemptions available on rsa.ie. For some vehicles, some drivers don't need those depending on the nature of the service or the nature of the service being provided. But in majority cases, they are required. So employers will know whether their activities fall within scope of that, and therefore they'll need to check if their drivers have valid CPC and a tachograph card. They also, as we spoke about earlier, need to ensure that drivers are trained to conduct the daily walk-around checks. they know how to do them, and most importantly, that drivers are medically fit to drive. Then once drivers are qualified and have been trained and are out and about, then drivers need to monitor their driving. They need to monitor the tachograph records by doing the downloads at the appropriate intervals, looking for infringements. If they find infringements, addressing those with the drivers to find out why they happened, putting corrective actions in place. These are type of things we look to see if we go and do a premises inspection. We look to see, okay, driver A had 10 infringements over this period. Well, what actually happened in terms of what caused it and what remedial actions did you put in place to ensure it doesn't happen again? Employers should also look for drivers. If there's a suspicion that a driver might be working for someone else part-time or whatever, they need to take account of that in any rosters they factor in for that driver, you know, so to see, to make sure that driver isn't breaching their weekly working time or driving time rules by under-declaring what they're doing. So they have to have a system in place to making sure that that's there, and also that vehicles are stated on operator license if required. And most importantly, when they're setting out activities for drivers for a week, that journeys are planned and sufficient time is afforded for drivers to account for daily living, their breaks, etc., and that, you know, they can take account of maybe traffic congestion, delays, bad weather, etc. So, like, you can't do a schedule up for a driver that's really impossible. Employers can't, that's really impossible for them to achieve without breaking the driving and resting time.
Yeah, it basically has to be based in the real world. Yeah. You know, if they're stuck on the M50 for 2.5 hours, yeah, that has to be included in the plan, basically.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Justin, you gave us some top tips there for safer vehicles. Can you give me some tips for safer drivers?
So I suppose for safer drivers, you know, we talk about the chain of responsibility. So, you know, the driver is responsible for sort of bringing the goods, say, from A to B. But there's a lot of work around the driving of the vehicle that impacts on the driver and what potentially might happen at the roadside if they're stopped at a checkpoint. And that goes from the point where loads are packed before until being loaded on a vehicle to being tied down or secured on the vehicle, then for the driver taking it away from the consigner's person sending the goods to the consignee, the person receiving the goods. So anyone in the transport chain moving goods from A to B has a responsibility to ensure that when the driver's on the road with the goods, that they are safe.
Yeah, so it's not just the driver who's the responsibility, it's everybody who's involved in that chain, as you mentioned there about load security and that type of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. That's very interesting. Listen, Justin, you covered a lot there now. If I'm looking for more information, where will I get it?
So RSA, Garda Síochána and the HSA have curated a bespoke set of resources under the heading, Safe Truck Fleet Operations, and it's on the Driving for Work website, so www.drivingforwork.ie.
Justin, that was very interesting. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Barry.